For them, it was a way of life. And it was a relationship that they had. They never saw it as a religion. It was a way of life for them. So they wouldn't live one way Monday to Saturday and then another way on Sunday. Whatever they lived on Sunday, that's the same thing they did Monday to Friday or Monday to Saturday. You know, I heard a story about a couple who were fighting Sunday morning. And then the woman said to the man, "You wait till I get back from church. Then you see my true colors." What's that all about? Wait till I get back from church. Then you see my true colors. No, if you're living Sunday, holy life, living holy life Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, it's a way of life. Hallelujah. It should be a way of life. So you wait till I come back. See my true colors. Christianity should be a way of life. And it also should be a relationship. And you know, one thing about relationship is that sometimes it comes with a level of sacrifice and commitment. Sometimes you even have to go out of your way and do certain things. You know, the Bible calls Abraham a friend of God. A friend of God. Now, it's impossible for God, the Bible to call Abraham a friend of God if Abraham didn't know God in a certain way and if God didn't know Abraham in a certain way. It says he called him a friend of God. And that's why Abraham was strong, and that's why he was doing exploits. Now, I'm not sure about physically strong, but I know he had a strong faith. Because for somebody to come to the point of sacrificing their son, then you must be strong. Please turn with me to the book of Genesis chapter 22. Genesis chapter 22, I'll be reading from verse 1. Genesis 22, verse 1. It says, Some time later, God tested Abraham. Now, this is his friend. He's testing him. How many people know that? At some point, your relationship with God will be tested. At some point, your relationship with God will be tested. With God, it's not about what you say. It's how you act sometimes. Now, look at this. It says, some time later, God tested Abraham. He said to him, "Abraham, here I am," he replied. Then God said, "Take your son, your only son whom you love, Isaac, and go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on a mountain I will show you." Early the next morning, Abraham got up and loaded his donkey. Guys, I've read this story so many times. I still can't get my head around how Abraham can even wake up and decide to go through with this. You see, we've read this so many times, so for us, it's like something that is happening. But I don't know how that guy did that. I really don't know. But listen, it says, early in the morning, Abraham got up and loaded his donkey. He took with him two of his servants and his son Isaac. When he had cut enough wood for the burnt offering, he set out for the place God had told him about. Let's jump to verse 9. It says, when they reached the place God had told him about, Abraham built an altar there and arranged the wood on it. He bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then he reached out his son and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called out to him from heaven, "Abraham, Abraham, here I am," he replied. "Do not lay a hand on the boy," he said. "Do not do anything to him. Now I know that you fear God, because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son." Guys, honestly, if I had to go through this test, I have no idea how I would act. I have no idea. It's easy to say, yeah, I'll do it. But when it comes to it, you can't. But you see, I also know that when God tests you, it's not so that the idea is not to push you in a tight corner. When God tests, that test is meant to reveal your weaknesses and your strengths sometimes, so that you work on your weaknesses and develop your strength. See, God loves you too much to leave you the way you are. He loves you way too much to leave you the way you are. So testing is important. Even the Bible says of Jesus, he was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to test him. Yes, he was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to test him. And after that, the Bible says he came out in the power of the Holy Spirit. So what was the result of that test? Power. Power. He was sent into the wilderness. 40 days into the wilderness, what happens? Guess who shows up? The devil, to test him. So God sends him into the wilderness to test him, and the devil also shows up. So guys, listen to me. Just as God has a plan for your life, so has the enemy. Just as God has a plan, so has the enemy. You have to be prepared for both and smart enough to know the difference. Be prepared for both. Because it's that's what prepared Jesus. It's the test that prepared him. He said, yeah, but can I not avoid the test? No, you can't. Oh, can I? God not just anoint me? No, you can't. Look at, with all the anointing upon Adam, with all the anointing upon him, he still couldn't figure out what the enemy's plan was when he came into the garden. And certainly he didn't have the sense to differentiate the voice of God and the voice of the devil. Why? Because that guy had never had any test in his life. So test prepares you for what lies ahead. It prepares you for what lies ahead. Listen, every time I feel like I'm being tested, I've got a little journal. I write what I find about myself. Lord, when I went through this test, this is what I found out. Stubbornness, this, that. I write it all down and I work through it. I work through it because it reveals certain things about you that maybe you yourself, you don't know. Yes. I mean, bless what for P. With all his anointing and his prayer power and everything, if he said to me, come with me in a glider, let's fly, I would never go. Because he hasn't been tested, I know. And what hasn't been tested can't be trusted. No, you need some sort of certification to fly. Do you know? So testing is important. So here's the thing. Isaac, the Bible says, Abraham wakes up early in the morning, very early in the morning to go and sacrifice Isaac. And I'm thinking, even waking up in the morning, now very early, that means he's even had to sacrifice sleep. Sacrifice sleep very early in the morning. And not only that, he's sacrificing his only son. Something that means everything to him. Guys, I want you to get this. Sacrificing something that means everything to him. Don't forget, it took him 25 years to get Isaac. 25 years. And then one day God says, sacrifice Isaac. Sacrifice Isaac. 25 years. Now, if I was Abraham, the kind of questions that would be going through my head, say, God, it's taking me 25 years to get this thing. You said it's through Isaac that you are going to bless me. So how come you want to kill him? Not only that, your word says, thou shalt not kill. God. Your word says, thou shalt not. And God says, listen, I make the rules. I can suspend them when I want, or if I want. But look at all of these things that he had to go through. Look at the level of sacrifice Abraham was willing to offer to God. Now it begs the question, what are you willing to sacrifice to God? I mean, what's your relationship with God worth? What is it worth to you? Because if you want to know God, you have to. There are certain things you have to sacrifice. What is your relationship with God worth? It was worth his son. That is serious. I mean, if I was Abraham, I would go with a rubber knife. Go with a rubber knife, just in case I didn't hear God correctly. And I'll be waiting. Guys, watch this. God called Abraham twice. Abraham, Abraham. It means the first time that guy would have gone through with it. He had to call him twice. Twice, not just once. This is somebody who was determined to drive the knife through his son. Not once or twice. I would go with a rubber knife and I'll be waiting. God, did I hear? Because all the points I've said are valid. Thou shalt not kill is valid. Lord, you said you were going to bless me through Isaac. It's valid. I waited 25 years for this. But you see, if you don't know God, if you don't know God, there are certain things you will not understand. And that's the difference. Somebody will say, are you sure? Are you sure you heard God? The devil is a liar. All of that. But it's because you know your God. So knowing God comes with a certain level of discernment that normally people who don't know God don't have. Yes, it comes with a certain level of discernment. And that's why we have to strive. Because you could easily be deceived. Now, if he hadn't gone ahead with this, he would have lost his blessing. You know what God said concerning Abraham? He says, Abraham, I swear by myself. God, you don't need to swear. It's where your yes is your yes. He says, I swear by myself. Because of what you've done, I will surely bless you. I will surely bless you, he said. Surely bless you. You can bet your life, Abraham, on this, that I will empower you, as Pastor Paul said, to succeed. I will empower you to walk in exploit simply because of what you've done. Hallelujah. You know, hallelujah. And there's this thing about God that amazes me. God is all-knowing. There's nothing that God doesn't know. I guarantee you, God knew that Abraham would have gone through with this. He knew it. I'm sure he did. But he still tested him. So even God, as mighty and as powerful as he is, he still characterizes people by their actions, not just by their words. And I think it's something that we should learn to do. We need to characterize people by their actions so that we are not fooled by their words. You see, with God, it's not just what you say, it's what you do. It's what you do. This is about the people who do know their God shall be strong and do exploits. Look at Hebrews 11, verse 17. It says, by faith, Abraham, when God tested him, offered Isaac as a sacrifice. By faith, Abraham, when God tested him, offered Isaac as a sacrifice. Now, we know he didn't really offer Isaac as a sacrifice because when he was about to go through with it, God stopped him. But let's assume for a minute that the book of Genesis didn't exist. Or the story of Genesis, or the story about him sacrificing Isaac wasn't in Genesis. I will read this and think that he actually went through with a sacrifice. So the writer of Hebrews says, by faith, Abraham, when God tested him, offered Isaac as a sacrifice. It's as if that thing was concluded. The reason why this is because in his heart, in Abraham's heart, that thing was a done deal. It was a done deal. He was through with it. He was just waiting for the manifestation of it. And that's why God had to call him twice to stop him. In his heart, it was a done. Listen, God looks at the heart. It's not really what you say. He looks at the heart. And so we need to fix our heart with God. To be true friends of God, we need to fix our heart with him. We need to fix our heart. Listen, I remember when I was about 13 years old in school, we used to have a time set aside in class, about 30 or 40 minutes, where you did your own studies. You could either read or you could either do math, whatever it is, but you did it on your own. You know, occasionally you have the teachers walking along the corridors of the classroom just to make sure that, you know, we are doing what we are supposed to do. And then what it was, the moment the teachers went past, then we wouldn't learn. We would just do anything. We would just be playing. We would just be talking. When we heard their footsteps, then quickly we just pretend as if, you know, we're reading or studying. Now, this went on for some time. And then one day, a guy called Michael, he couldn't have been more than 14. It was probably 13. He walked up to a few of us, and then he said, who do you think you're fooling, the teacher or yourself? Who do you think you're kidding, the teacher or yourself? Because come the end of term, your actions will reflect in your exams. And I thought, my goodness, up to now, I said, where did that guy get that wisdom? But it's true. And sometimes when we're here praising God, giving God, oh, Lord, I love you, and deep down it's not there, who do you think you're kidding? Right. Who do you think you're kidding? Because eventually when the test comes, it would show. Because you don't have it right here. Eventually, when the test comes, it will show. It will show. So we need to fix it. Fix whatever it is with God. Say, God, work on my heart. Work on my relationship with you. It's the most important thing I can ever ask for. Knowing as a friend, it takes time to know somebody. It doesn't just happen. It takes time to know somebody. Look at Jeremiah chapter 29. Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 13. He says, you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. You will seek me and you find me when you seek me with all your heart. All of it. One thing I've noticed about God, he doesn't do things in halves. You know, 50-50, no, he doesn't. You know, he said to his children, look, it's either me or Baal or Baal. You know, you can't have one foot here or one foot there. In other words, you can't go in two different directions at the same time. So you see the me or you see the bow? You know, I was saying to my boys in cell the other day, you know, a half-hearted spirit has no power. It has no power. Don't expect great results with half-hearted commitment. Never. And that's how God is. And so when he says, you will seek me and find me, you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart means commitment. All of it means commitment. All of it, you seek me and find me. And God is looking for people who are committed, people who are willing to sacrifice. How much is your relationship with God worth to you? How much is it worth to you? Ah, let me look at my schedule. I've got football, I've got gym, I've got this, got this. I can't make it to church. I'll go with football. Look through the list. I'll go with gym. How much is it worth to you? How much? How much? Is your relationship with God worth you? Somebody was willing to sacrifice his son. My goodness. Sacrifice his son. Sacrifice his sleep. Some people wouldn't even sacrifice their sleep just to pray 1 hour. They won't sacrifice their food just to fast. And yet they want to walk in the same blessing as Abraham did. Nah, man, it won't happen. Some things come at a cost. No, yes. No. Some things come at a cost. How much is it worth to you? You know, Jesus says, like God says in the Bible, I think in the book of Matthew, he says, I know you need these things, the clothes to wear, the food to eat, and all of that, the bills to pay. I know. But then he says, but so also the people in the world are after. But seek me first and my kingdom, and all of this will follow you. But we've got the order wrong. We are chasing them. So sometimes the absence of things in the life of a Christian is misplaced priority because you've got your priorities wrong. And that's why there's a need. You've got your priorities wrong. Just seek me first and these things will follow you. Seek me first and all of these things will follow you. How much is your relationship with God worth to you? How much is it worth? How much is it worth to you? What are you willing to sacrifice? Because if you don't develop that friendship now, don't wait till trouble comes before you try to get to know him. It'll probably be too late. It'll probably be too late. Get to know him now. What else we have the time? What else we can do it? Get to know him. Sacrifice commitment. Sacrifice commitment. Because if you don't do it now, it's too late. Then you'll be running after pastors. You'll be running after prophets. Pray for me. Do this. Help me. I remember, you know, in the book of Samuel, Hannah, you know, the Bible says he was believing God for a child. He prayed so many times, nothing happened. One day, Eli came in and said, are you drunk, woman? He said, no, I'm not drunk, my heart. I'm believing God for a breakthrough. And Eli said, you know what, woman, get up. May it be unto you. Or something. He said, may it be unto you as you've prayed or something. I can't remember. But that's all he said. And not long after that, Hannah conceived and had a child. But the point I want to make it, the way he said, may he be unto you, according, I can't remember. But that guy's words carried so much weight in the realm of the spirit. So I can understand why sometimes you want some people to pray for you. I understand that. But why can't it be you? Aren't we all children of God? Aren't we all children of God? You see, if Benji and I are brothers, okay, and I want something from Pastor Paul, but I can't go directly to Pastor Paul, but I go through Benji. It tells me there's something wrong between the relationship if I can't go directly to him. It tells me there's something wrong between our relationship. Why do I have to go through Benji to get to him when I can go directly? Why? So when you're chasing pastors and chasing prophets, there's nothing wrong with that. We all need it. But it tells me something about your relationship with God. It tells me something about your relationship with your father. Why do you always have to go through somebody to get to your dad? It tells me something. It says you will seek me and you find me when you seek me with all your heart. There's a level of commitment there. Serious level of commitment. Genesis 32. Turn with me to Genesis chapter 32. I'll read from verse 22. It says, that night, Jacob got up and took his two wives, his two female servants, and his 11 sons, and crossed the ford of the Jabbok. After he had sent them across the stream, he sent over all his possessions. So Jacob was left alone, and the man wrestled with him till daybreak. When the man saw that he could not overpower him, he touched the socket of Jacob's hip, so that his hip was wrenched as he wrestled with the man. Then the man said, let me go, for it is daybreak. But Jacob replied, I will not let you go unless you bless me. The man asked him, what is your name, Jacob? He answered, what is your name? Jacob, he answered. Then the man said, your name will no longer be Jacob, but Israel, because you have struggled with God and with humans and have overcome. Then the man said, your name will no longer be Jacob, but Israel, because you've struggled with God and with humans and have overcome. I mean, you know the story about Jacob. This is when God has blessed him. He has blessed him. And so he's leaving Laban's house to wherever God wants him to go. And now they get to a point where he has to wrestle. He has to wrestle with somebody. Now, I don't know where the angel or the guy comes from, but clearly he initiates the fight. Now, if you know anything about wrestling, you need to stand on your feet so you can grapple with the person and just put the person down. But here's the case that his hip has been dislocated. You know, and he held on to that guy, and I said, God, what was the fight all about? He said, that guy was fighting for his destiny. He was fighting for his destiny. But that's not the point I want to make. It's the level of commitment that Jacob had. The level of holding on to it, even when your hip was dislocated. That level of commitment that he had. Look, if there was a referee in that thing, the referee would stop the contest. He would. Because having a dislocated hip is a good excuse to stop the fight. Even his coaches or trainers would have thrown in the towel. It's a good reason, it's a good excuse to stop the fight. But no Jacob. Look at the level of commitment that guy had. So this is somebody who was not just interested in being blessed. This is somebody who was committed to seeing a blessing come his way. You see, when you're interested in something, you do it when it's convenient. But when you're committed, you don't accept excuses, just results. And that day, that guy walked home with a result. But you see, the sad truth is sometimes that's how we handle God, when it's convenient. It's convenient. Oh, God, well, let me go to the half night. It's convenient. Let me go to the whole night. It's convenient. Guys, I understand. We all have busy lives. I really understand. But sometimes we just have to get our priorities right when it comes to God. Look at the level of commitment that guy was showing. There's nothing like a half-hearted champion. Nothing like a half-hearted champion. You want to be a champion, you have to be committed. Because guys, otherwise we'll come here Sunday after Sunday. We're wasting our time, honestly. We are wasting our time. And you say, God, why don't I get results? Why don't I get results? He says, where is your commitment? Where is your sacrifice? And guys, it's not what you do, it's not what you say, it's what's going on in your heart. And I always say, the hardest part of any test is really what goes on in your heart. That's the hardest part. So I'm smiling with Tim, but what's really going on in my heart? I'm smiling with Terry, but what's really going on in my heart? That's the hardest part of the trial. And that's what God looks at, fortunately or unfortunately. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. It says, but without faith, it's impossible to please God. Because whoever comes to him must first believe that he exists and that he rewards those who diligently seek him. Seeking God comes with a reward. There's undeniable evidence. Look at the story of Hezekiah. It brings prosperity. It brings so much. But the thing is, getting to know somebody takes time. You can't suddenly wake up one morning and say, God, I know you are my friend. No, you can't. You can't. Guys, please. Please, if you're coming here, let's come because deep down in our hearts, it's because, Lord, we want to get to know you. I'm not coming here because it's a Sunday. I'm not coming here to please Pastor Paul or Pastor Joe. No, if I'm doing it, it's because I want to please God. It's because I really want to. Because guys, like, in the past, you guys know how times things have been like. You know, and I don't know whether things are going to get better or going to get worse. But it's going to take the people who know their God to be strong and do exploits. You know, I want us to get back. And that's my prayer. I say, Lord, I want to get back to the early church and even do way more than that. What I'm saying, look at what God did. But I'm saying, look at what God is doing. Look at what God is doing. Look at what God is doing. So like the testimonies that we had at the half night or all nights, that God, you replicate that every single all night or half night. That's not beyond God. That one day as I walk through the doors, I say, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I give you. In the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. When you see them walking and leaping and praising God, there's no need. Sometimes, you know, you don't even have to witness. Just when they see what God is doing, that's enough to bring them in. That's enough to bring them in. Because, guys, people want results. People want results. And that's why they tend to witches and all of those things. Because they want results. The problem with the devil is he has no free gift. Whatever he gives you with the right hand, he takes something back with the left hand. He takes something back with the left hand. It's nothing like a free gift. The devil. Be on your feet, please. I really believe this is something that is on God's heart. There's nothing worse than a father or a mother who doesn't know their child, or a child who don't know their father or mother. Can you imagine you live at home with your father or your mother and you don't really know them? And God wants us to get past that thing. He wants us to get past that thing. In the ark. You know, there was a storm, you know, during the storm of Noah's ark, you know the Bible. Noah had to go in the ark. And, you know, the ark wasn't the best place to be because, you know, it had animals and all sorts of things. You know, but as you've heard them say, it was the safest place. It was the safest place to be when God destroyed it. And I know a time is coming, the church is going to be the safest place to be. It's going to be the safest place to be. But if you want to start doing it now, don't wait till things get worse. It probably might be too late. Some people only know God when they're in trouble. And then once their trouble is solved, they begin to drift again. And God is saying, I want you back in my house. I really want you back in my life and in my house. Father, we come before you this morning, God. Thank you, Lord, for your heart of compassion and for your heart of love for us, God. Your relationship with us meant so much to you that you were willing to sacrifice your son for us, God. Thank you so much, Father. Today we receive that gift, Father. And we return to you like the prodigal son, Lord. We return to you this morning. Holy Spirit, thank you for your presence in our lives. Show us, God, how to seek God and how to get to know Him. Show us, reveal to us, Holy Spirit. I thank you, mighty God. I give you all the praise and all the adoration. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. Put your hands together for Jesus.
Amen. Amen. Wow, thank you for that word, Pastor G. What an awesome word. Father God, may we not be fair weather friends of yours, Lord Jesus. Father God, that we will have that tenacity, Father God, and that, you know, commitment to you and to our relationship with you, Father God. And as we go into this fast, Father God, use this, Father. Use this, Father. Use this to speak to our hearts, Lord Jesus, and to deepen our relationship and our commitment and our sacrifice to you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father, that you are always waiting with open arms, Lord. Thank you that you are always waiting with open arms, Jesus. And Father, if you're here and you know you don't know Jesus and you don't know that relationship or that commitment to him, I just want to give you the opportunity now to just make a commitment to him. Say, Jesus, that I want to know you more. I want to know this God, this life-changing God. If you just raise your hand right now with every eye closed. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Jesus. Father God, I just pray, Lord Jesus, that you deepen our relationships this week, Father, and that, you know, by next week, we will be able to look back at this week and say, wow, we have seen our relationship with you grow and our commitment to you grow, Lord Jesus. I just bless your holy name, Lord, in your mighty name I pray. Amen.